So good morning, everyone gathered here today. It's good to see you all, and good morning to those joining us online. It's good to have you with us, as always. Once again, I have the privilege of sharing on Good Friday morning. It really is a privilege. This is a great day, and as Mark said, a great day for us. And we'll look today at some things that Jesus had to go through, some decisions that had to be made, some promises that had to be fulfilled. And they could only be fulfilled by one person. And we'll look at those things this morning. So my message today is a simple one. Thanks, Sherry, you can put up the title. And it's really just focused on how much Jesus loves us. It's not just for those of us gathered here today or watching online, but it's also for those who are not worshiping him today. This is not going to be a long preach. It's a simple preach. It's a simple message. The message of the gospel is a simple one that needs no embellishment. A sacrifice was made on our behalf once and for all. And John 3, starting from verse 14, recounting Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, says this: just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, that is any person, at any time, anywhere. That is why we are called to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Or as we like to say here at the Bridge, in Pickering, in Durham region, in Ontario, and to the ends of the earth. This message today is for you who have accepted Jesus as Lord in your life, to remind you how much he loves you. And the message today is also for anyone here or watching online who has not heard it before, or who has heard it and has not yet accepted it. Jesus loves you no less and no more than anybody else on the face of this earth. How do we know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I hope today that you will find the answer. So before I get too carried away in the wonder of the gospel message, let's look at what I think are three fundamental aspects of what took place on that first Good Friday. The first is a sacrifice. Under the old covenant, given to the Israelites by Moses from what God had spoken to him, blood sacrifices were required to atone for their sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." See, animal sacrifices were commanded by God so that the individual could experience forgiveness of sin. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." The animal served as a substitute. That is, the animal died in place of the sinner, but only temporarily, which is why the sacrifices needed to be offered over and over. Now, there was another sacrifice made on the Day of Atonement, and it's described in Leviticus 16. And it demonstrates forgiveness and the removal of sin. You see, the high priest was to take two male goats for a sin offering. One of the goats was sacrificed as a sin offering for the people of Israel, and that's described in Leviticus 16, verse 15. While the other goat was released into the wilderness, and that's described in Leviticus 16, verses 20 to 22. You see, the sin offering, the one goat provided forgiveness, while the other goat provided the removal of sin for the nation of Israel. But again, this had to be performed every year, as it only provided a temporary forgiveness of and cleansing from sin in the nation of Israel. And Romans 3, verse 21 says this, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Animal sacrifices ended because Jesus Christ was the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist recognized this when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized and said in John 1, verse 29, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was before Jesus had started his ministry. And John knew what was to come. It was a prophetic statement. We often don't read that. We just read it as hey, John, he saw Jesus and he said something what we think is fairly obvious. But at the time he said it, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was a prophetic statement of what was to come. So you may be asking yourselves, why animals? What did they do wrong? I've thought that. It was a bit of a lottery for the two goats. The one got probably the worst end of the bargain, and the other one got let go in the wilderness. Who knows whether that was good or not? It depends what's in the wilderness, I guess. But, you know, what did the animals do wrong? That is the whole point. The animals did nothing wrong. They died in place of the one performing the sacrifice. And Jesus Christ also did no wrong, but he willingly gave himself to die for the sins of mankind. Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself and died in our place. He didn't deserve it, but he knew it had to be done to fulfill the law. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him," that is Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, through faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, we can receive forgiveness. So we see that in order for our sins to be forgiven and removed, Christ was offered as a sacrifice of atonement. What I have sort of in my own mind come to the conclusion that Good Friday was the day of atonement under the new covenant. And he was offered as a sacrifice of atonement to fulfill the requirements of the law given through Moses. Jesus did not replace the law, he fulfilled its requirements. By Christ's sacrifice, we who believe and have faith in him receive the righteousness of God, which allows us to overcome our inherently sinful nature. This is good news. This is good news. So, firstly, there needed to be a sacrifice on Good Friday. The second point about Good Friday is that it was a one-time sacrifice. Another fundamental aspect of what took place on that first Good Friday. Hebrews 9, verses 24 to 28 explains it like this. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 14 goes on to say, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered, this priest being Jesus, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That first Good Friday was an extraordinary day. It was the day that changed the world forever. The amazing thing about it is that on the day itself, nobody except for Jesus understood that. The disciples felt betrayed. Many were confused, and I'm sure they were pretty angry. They didn't understand the magnitude of what had taken place, even though Jesus had explained it to them. It wasn't until Holy Spirit, the Counselor, was sent at Pentecost that the truth of that day was revealed to Jesus' disciples, so they could go ahead and share the good news of the sacrifice that Jesus had made. Jesus was the only one who could make that sacrifice. And because he was sinless, because he was blameless, the sacrifice was only required once. He satisfied God's wrath at the sin of the world, and now he sits at his right hand and he intercedes for us. So another sacrifice will never be required. Thank you, Lord. So the third, final aspect of that first Good Friday is that the sacrifice that Jesus made was for everyone. Now, I've done a bit of a play of words here. A sacrifice once and for all is kind of how you might hear it spoken of. But I just wanted to separate the once and for all. Because in that statement, you get the full truth of what occurred on that first Good Friday. A sacrifice was made by Jesus. He only needed to do it once for all mankind. So let's look at some scriptures which confirm this. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 to 6 says this, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." And in Hebrews 2, verse 9, confirms this by saying, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." And then going on to the first book of John, in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Just that wonderful picture of Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father. "Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then finally, I like how the Message puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own." Yeah. Amen. See, this is the almost unbelievable thing about that first Good Friday. Jesus did not die just for those he knew. Yeah. He didn't die for those who were good or for those in Israel. He died for everyone. Those who knew him and those who had never heard of him. Those who thought they were righteous in their own strength, and those who were the worst of sinners. He died for those who were with him then, and for those who were still to come. He died for you, and he died for me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I said it was almost unbelievable. In reality, it is unbelievable for our limited minds. But God in his grace wants us to know how much he loves us. So when we declare with our mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with our heart that we believe and are justified, and it is with our mouth that we profess our faith and are saved. He then sends Holy Spirit to live in us so we can truly understand how high, how deep, and how wide his love for us truly is. Billy Graham says this of Good Friday. "Why is it called Good Friday? Because by his death, Jesus became the final and complete sacrifice for our sins. We cannot erase our guilt, nor can we overcome our sins by our good deeds. But Christ did what we could never do for ourselves. By dying for us on that first Good Friday, may this day truly become Good Friday for you as you confess your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ." I hope that today you have seen the love of God for you through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that you have seen that in the sacrifice paid once and for all on that first Good Friday. There is new life. That resurrection life is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, which is also known as Easter Day. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord in your life, please don't let this opportunity pass. If you're watching online, please don't let this opportunity pass. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 simply says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's pretty simple. It's not asking a lot of us. Jesus paid the price that we could not. If that's you, if that's you online, if there's anyone here today, I'm going to ask you to repeat this simple prayer after me. Jesus, I believe you were crucified for the forgiveness of my sin and that you rose again to sit at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as Lord in my life. Amen. If you chose to pray that and you're sat here today, please speak to someone about your newfound faith. If you're here with us, we'd love to chat to you afterwards. We'd love to celebrate with you and pray with you. And if you're online, please feel free to call any of the elders, anyone here who is a believer, so that they also can celebrate with you and pray with you. I thank you. I told you it wasn't a long preach. I hope that the message was clear. Thank you for your time. We look forward to seeing you on Resurrection Sunday.